The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday we heard Jesus say, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Today we've heard him declare, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Not long after Pentecost, the Apostle Peter would proclaim the same truth when testifying before the high priest. "There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The assertion that no one will be saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ is widely regarded as arrogant and offensive in our day, not to mention being flat out wrong. Asserted in public and someone is liable to accuse you of hate speech. "You just have to be a spiritual person and sincere in your beliefs," many claim. "Try hard and do your best and God won't reject you," others say. All that's important is that a person live up to his understanding of what God requires, you might hear a more sophisticated person say. "God won't hold anyone to account for what they didn't know." The essential agreement among all of these responses is that if there is a God, he couldn't be so narrow-minded, so judgmental as to damn anyone just because he didn't trust in the Son God gave to bear the sin of the world. But of course, truth is not established by majority vote. As St. Paul writes, "Let God be true, though every man were a liar." The problem of sin is far worse than the world is willing to accept. If there's any question about God's fairness, his righteousness, it should not be why some are damned, but why any are saved. The scriptures are absolutely clear about the universal reach of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And there's no question about the consequence of sin either. The wages of sin is death. The soul who sins shall die. Universal damnation is what humanity has earned. Universal damnation is what humanity deserves. That includes you. It includes me. That's what God's word teaches. It's the truth. But it's not God's only or final word. His final word is Jesus. And Jesus, as you know, means God saves. Jesus' words in our text today come from the night in which he was betrayed. After he had instituted the Holy Supper of his body and blood, and before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had already told his disciples that one of them would betray him, that soon he would be going away, going to a place where they could not follow, and that before the sun rose, Peter, loyal and outspoken Peter, would deny three times that he even knew him. Any one of these things was terrible news. But all of them together were devastating. It's no wonder that as Jesus continues, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." How do you get rid of a troubled heart? Trust, Jesus says. Trust in God, trust also in me. Jesus has an answer for troubled hearts. His work and his promises. So that's what he talks about as he goes on. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. He had told them that he was leaving them. And when he said that, he was talking both about his arrest and crucifixion, and when he had risen, of his ascension into heaven. But his going away was for their good. He was going to the cross because it was necessary if they were going to have a place with his Father. Nailed to the cross, dying for the sin of the world, Jesus was preparing a place for them, a place for you with his Father. That's because on the cross, Jesus was reconciling the world to God by bearing all the sin of the world in his body. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus died for sinners. When he said from his cross, "It is finished," he meant his work of salvation and the problem of sin. At that moment, your place in the Father's house was prepared. But note that the comfort and assurance Jesus offers is more than in merely preparing a place. He also promises to return and to bring them to himself so that they may be with him. But then he says, "You know the way to where I am going." And Thomas is confused. If we don't know where you are going, how can we know how to get there? I can't blame Thomas for being confused. Jesus' words here are enigmatic. Even with the 20/20 vision of hindsight, his words demand attention and careful contemplation. But thank God for the question Thomas asks, for it prompts Jesus' wonderful declaration, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. But Jesus welcomes everyone, young and old, good and bad, greatest and least. He welcomes everyone. And he promises, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And neither will the Father. When Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. He's revealing something of the mystery of the Holy Trinity. It sounds impossible, confusing, and contradictory. But there's much more here. Though Philip gets in on the questioning because he doesn't understand, Jesus is revealing a profound and comforting truth. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. What does God think of you, sinner that you are? Jesus is the answer. Jesus, the one whose name means God saved. Jesus, whom the Father gave to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the one who drank the cup of God's wrath to the dregs, who willingly suffered and died and cursed an excruciating death on the cross because it was not possible to redeem a world of sinners in any other way. Jesus, the very God of very God, who was forsaken by God, because he bore the world's sin, yet who nevertheless confidently said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What does God think of you, sinner though you are? Jesus reveals that God's heart goes out to you, that he has compassion and is gracious toward you, that he forgives you all your sins. Jesus assures you that everything he said and everything he did is a revelation of the Father. In his preaching and in his miracles, in his patient suffering and in his innocent death, Jesus was making known an otherwise invisible God. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, revealed here on earth so that you may know God's holiness and his love. St. Paul put it this way. In the face of Jesus Christ, God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Jesus is the salvation of the Lord, which he prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to us Gentiles, and for glory to his people Israel. In Jesus' innocent suffering and death for sinners, we see revealed, we know, the enormous love of God for the world. In Jesus, God has opened his heart for sinners so that they, so that you, may know his love and believe his promises. In Jesus you have forgiveness and redemption. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to God's presence. He is the truth of God's righteousness and love. He is the life from God that will never end, life that is yours. He is the reason that you will dwell in the Father's house forever. In Jesus, you know God. And knowing God, you have eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.